Have your Bibles with you this morning. If you will get them handy and nearby, we're going to do a little bit of traveling in both scripture and song this morning. And I want to say a few words, then we'll read some passages and then sing some corresponding carols as we walk through these things in the scriptures. A couple of things that I've been reminded of this week and just watching news reports and items that have crossed my eyes and thought process. It's a shame that the world does not see the Christ of Christmas. It's a shame that we have marketed and planned for the giving of gifts, but we've most often left out the Christ of Christmas, the greatest gift that has ever been given. As you travel around the globe, there are many that know the winner of the World Cup. My son shared with me that there was a recent tweet from one of the players on the team that won the World Cup, and I think my son said that one of his tweets had 72 million likes or 72 million looks, or however that plays out in the social media world. 72 million from one individual related to soccer and to the World Cup. I'm not surprised because, of course, the world loves soccer and the world follows the World Cup. But what I am surprised is that we who know Christ observe individuals who celebrate this holiday and leave out the very significance of the birthday. They leave out the one whose birth we are celebrating. And I am thankful that I know the Christ of Christmas. I do pray that you know the Christ of Christmas. I was reminded in recent days that religion has done much to offer mankind rituals and items to rehearse and words to share, but they do not have a relationship. Jesus Christ came into this world to give us life, and His desire is for us to have not just life, but to have it more abundantly. And I'm so thankful for the life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, with all of the kids here and everyone being able to participate in both scripture and song, I appreciate the investment that will be made by our musicians to play these things. But will you travel with me today as we look at some different passages and then sing the praises of Almighty God? And this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not yet received the greatest gift that has ever been given. Now, if I were to tell you this morning that I have keys to a brand new car out front for you, and it's not just any car, it's a one-of-a-kind Ferrari, you'd be in a hurry to finish the service and to get out of here to try it out. You'd probably wreck it in the parking lot, but you'd be in a hurry to get out of here because you'd be so excited about that kind of a gift. I'm saying to you this morning that I have a far more significant gift to tell you about. We're going to walk through His birth and see what Christ has provided for us this morning. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, we go all the way back to the prophets. And there's a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could insert this statement here as well. There are over 400 prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's around 430 prophecies concerning the Lord in the Old Testament. And miracle of miracles, they all came true. Every one of them was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse number 14, we read, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." We go down through the corridor of time, and we find the gospel writer in Luke chapter 1 rehearses the announcement of that coming fulfillment of prophecy. And in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus."
All right, if you want to grab your hymn books, we're going to sing hymn 208, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which of course means God with us. We'll sing the first and the third.
to you chapter 1, as it was foretold to the man Joseph and to Mary. The statement is made in verse number 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." My friend, all of us are born in sin. Sin is anything that I say, do, or think that displeases a holy God. We travel all the way back in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and we find that sin entered the world when Adam made a choice to disobey God. Everyone found in this auditorium today, everyone that's watching online, everyone in the world finds themselves in this fallen condition. And the Bible says that our sin has had an impact on our relationship to Almighty God. It has separated us from God. And so He promised that He would send His Son, the seed of woman, that would bring deliverance for mankind. Satan would have opportunity to bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but ultimately Christ would bring the defeat of the prince of the power of the air. Christ is the victor. He came to save you from your sins. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting."
Hymn number 226, "O little town of Bethlehem," we'll sing the first and the third. With me, Luke chapter 2, we read these wonderful words. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Can you imagine all that went into the travels for Joseph and Mary, down from their home
to this city of Bethlehem, again in the fulfillment of prophecy. And in this place, Jesus is born. Would you join with us in number 232, Away in a Manger? Quietness of that manger scene is broken in a field in a distant location. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It was not unusual for them to have that obligation as they worked third shift in taking care of the sheep. But this was an unusual night, verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Angels we have heard on high will sing the first and second.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous ring. Gloria in excelsis.
In the story, and the Bible says in verse number 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
O come, all ye faithful, we'll sing the first and the third.
Almighty God was making preparations for Joseph and for Mary and for the babe Jesus. And there were wise men that were seeking to find this babe that had been born. If you have your Bibles there, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2 as we read of this group of individuals that are seeking this babe. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." I've said to you this morning that all of us are born in sin, and that Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. The Bible says that they would name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Sin has impacted every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find in this passage two groups of individuals, those that were sincerely desirous of seeing the Christ child. They believed the light that had been given to them, and they followed that light. There's another group of individuals in this passage that had considerable head knowledge as it related to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they did not come to seek the Lord for what the Lord could do on their behalf. They came to destroy, or they desired to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ for what they thought He would take from them. But my friend, can I tell you this morning that wise men still seek Jesus? When you acknowledge the nature of your sin and the fact that your sin has separated you from an eternal God, from a righteous God, as light shines forth and you hear the truth of the Scriptures, Jesus said to His disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." It is a picture of the nature of the darkness of religion. When all these religious men respond to the King, and they have all the facts and stats up in their heads, but they were not prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when He actually came. Oh, Herod would have considered them to be wise, but they were dwelling in darkness. Jesus shined forth His light, and wise men follow the light to the truth. And the truth of the matter is that we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we do. We are saved according to the great grace and mercy of Almighty God. This morning you may have come as part of a religious experience. You may have come as a part of a religious obligation. And you think in your own mind that you've done your duty for the coming year. You've been here for Christmas, and perhaps another holiday will roll around and you'll enter into a church again. I want to challenge you this morning. Jesus came into this earth not to give you religion. The world already had plenty of that. Jesus came to give you a relationship with Him. The wise men sought out Jesus Christ. They wanted to acknowledge this one that had been born, this one that was truly born to die.
We three kings of Orient are, we sing the first and second.
Ask everyone to stand, and we're going to close our service today with the wonderful song, Joy to the World. It is my prayer that you know the joy of Jesus Christ this morning, and that as you celebrate by opening different gifts that have been given to you or that you give to others, that you will consider the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, we desire for that opportunity to show you out of the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christ is not an impersonal individual. Christ came to deliver you from the burden of your sin. And I look forward to that day where we're all gathered home in heaven and able to sing praises in the presence of God, recognizing that Jesus has paid it all. He truly did bring joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Sure. Well, you want to lead it?
I'll let you lead it.
You want to sing it solo.
We want to close this morning with "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." And so we'll all sing that together. And we do truly wish each and every one of you a wonderful day, a Merry Christmas, and we'll be praying for you throughout this holiday season. Let's sing together.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a wonderful